Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of the pastors here at the Rock.
This morning, my assignment has to do with, obviously, the Holy Spirit. We've been in a series about the Holy Spirit. And as I thought about this, I began to think about those relationships that we have. Probably you don't, but I have some relationships in my life where sometimes there's conflict. Anybody can relate to having a little bit of conflict, a little bit of tension, a little bit of misunderstanding in your relationships, whether it's your most intimate relationships or your acquaintances, that can happen, right? And when you talk about those relationships and you address the issue and you're all in, doesn't it always seem like you're the one who's all in? Like you're willing to give anything, do anything, you're willing to pay the price, you're willing to give, you know, to go the extra mile. And it seems like they are too when they're talking to you, when they're sharing with you, and then they walk away and they do something else. They don't do what they said they were going to do. Why don't they follow through? Aren't they really all in? Don't they really want to be invested in this relationship? Don't they want to get the best out of it? Don't they want to make it work? Yeah, but you know what? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit's been doing. He's the one on the other side going, don't you want to make it work, people? Don't you want to do your part? Everything that you said when your hands were lifted in my presence and in my holiness, I'm willing to give anything and go all the way and change my life so that I can have more of you, God. And then we walk away and go back to our old habits and our old ways and the things that are convenient, and we let our flesh rule our life and we make decisions that actually cause him to be out of our life. Ouch. We can relate to his experience when we look at our own experiences. That's how God teaches us, right? He teaches us through our experiences, through the story of our life. I mean, that's what the Bible is, a book of stories about how God moves and how God teaches. So my assignment today is to look at some verses out of Ephesians, and I want to read them together with you. There's just a couple of verses there that we're going to go through together as we talk about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 29 through 32, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, I can remember some intimate moments with my walk with the Holy Spirit and my frustration in these relationships that we've talked about. And I've asked God, God, why don't they want to spend more time? God, why don't they make the effort and reach out and call? Why do I always have to be the one making the effort? And so many times when I've had those situations, and I've noticed in my life that that seems to be like a recurring theme, right, over generations and decades. And the Holy Spirit's like, exactly, Teresa, exactly. Exactly. Why don't you spend more time? Why don't you be the one to call first? Talking about him, saying, hey, I want to spend more time. I want to be with you more. The cry that you're crying out to get filled from other people, I'm right here. That need, I can fill it for you. And that's this morning. That's what I want to talk to us about. Let's not be a people to grieve the Holy Spirit in our life. Let's not be a people that stop God from showing us his glory because of what we're doing in our lives. The choices that we're making, the things that we're holding back, what we're not willing to lay down on the altar, right? I don't come to you this morning as somebody who's got this figured out, but somebody who's working it out on the daily, on the everyday. Unfortunately, I have to say to you sometime on the hour, right? Because sometimes it's that much, right? If my heart is not aligned and I haven't been pressing in and there's a separation, there's a fog, there's a distance. So I want to look at these verses and I want to talk about how can we do that? What can we do that stops that relationship from growing with the Holy Spirit? Because we've had a couple of weeks of some great messages, right? Who the Holy Spirit is, he is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. The Holy Spirit is our best friend. He is with us. We got to reach out and call out to him and all of that. But there's also the other side. What is our responsibility and how can we bring disunion to that relationship? And one of the things that I wanted to point out before we get into this is that the Holy Spirit is our connection to the heart of the Father. You may have cried out to God and been like, what is your will? What is your way? What is your plan? God, I don't know what to do. If you're a young person, what is my purpose? What is my mission? What is my call? What is my job? Who do I marry, right? Maybe if you're in the, you've been around a few decades, right? And you're like, God, now what? Now what? I've stepped out of the old thing and now it's an empty nest. I've left my job. What do I do? The Holy Spirit is our connection to the heart of the Father, no matter where we are on that range. And so I want to read a scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it should be on the screen for you. It says, I have a lot of scriptures today, so you can follow them along here, write them down, read them on your own time. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now when we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit is our connection to the Godhead. It is our means. He is our means. I'm saying it. He is our means of tapping into the will of God, the ways of God, the heart of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the freedom of God that we talked about today. Be free. Come out of the darkness. Step into the light. Step into the freedom. That's all the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the work that he wants to do. So if we want to connect and we want to hear the heart of the Father, we've got to be connected to the Holy Spirit, right? And we have the power to disconnect. We have the power to ignore. We have the power to silence the voice of God in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that to happen to me. I remember as a young person, a youth pastor, preaching a sermon and talking about the Holy Spirit. It's this very rudimentary image, but if you haven't heard it before, I want to give it to you as a gift. The Holy Spirit's like a triangle. Right? Like a triangle, like a stone triangle in our, or just a triangle in our skin. Just imagine that. Imagine that. Now, if you had that in your skin and it has three points, right? And there's sin in our lives, you can imagine that the Holy Spirit is like that triangle turning. Wouldn't it hurt? Ouch, ouch, sin, ouch. Right? And it's a sensitivity. It would poke us. It would bother us. And so I remember him telling us as a youth, you know, imagine that that's the Holy Spirit. And when you feel the pain, when you feel this disappointment, you know that's sin in your life, right? Coming aware of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But the thing that happens is as that triangle turns and turns and turns, it cuts. And over time, if you don't ignore it, I mean, if you ignore it and you don't pay attention and you endure the pain and you press through and you keep sin in your life and you keep doing what you want and you keep ignoring, that triangle is going to be able to spin, spin, spin with no problem. There's not going to be any flesh left for it to cut. And you're not even going to realize, we're not even going to realize that we're sinning and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and calling us and drawing us back and correcting us. And we're like, I don't hear God's voice. I guess he's okay with my sin. Why? Because we desensitize ourselves. Right? And I know that's a really rudimentary image, but it's been so powerful for me over the last 30 years to think, how's my triangle? Right? Is it all intact? Or is this really an area of my life where I've just let sin reign and I don't even sense God correcting me anymore? All right? So I hope that's a good word for somebody. I hope you'll take that image if it works for you. So let's look at these scriptures. Ephesians 4:30 is where we're going to start, right in the middle of this passage, and we'll end up covering all of them together over the next few minutes. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let's start with this idea of grieving. Most of us have had tragedy in our life, and we know what it's like with grief. We know what it's like to grieve. We know the pain and the depths of sorrow, and that's exactly what it means. Some translations say, don't bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Some translations say, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Why? Because he wants good for us, and the things we do can do that. Did you know that God can be sad? Pastor Sue shared about emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. So I want to show you some of these passages where the people of God, people like you and I who are called by God's name, actually made him sad. Just jump through a few of these. Genesis 6:6. If you have your Bible, you can go there while I flip there. Genesis 6:6. We see this passage starting in verse, it's actually going to read from verse 5. It says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent," listen to this, "every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." What is it that caused? What is it that we see causing sorrow and grief in the heart of God here? Two things. There's a selfishness. It says they were making their own choices in the verse before that. And then the thoughts of man's heart was continually evil. There was a heart condition and there was a selfishness, and that grieved the heart of God. Further on in Isaiah 63, chapter 10, we read this. "But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit's been here since the beginning, right? He hovered over the face of the earth, listening for the voice of God. He has been working throughout time in your life, but way before you and I ever walked on the planet. And here we see they are grieving the Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. God wants us to work with the Holy Spirit, not against the Holy Spirit. In the midst of God's provision and God's presence, Israel decided what the Holy Spirit was saying was not the most important thing. They wanted to run after their own ways, their own habits, their own distractions, and make their own choices. And that grieves the heart of God. Psalm 78, the last one where I want to show you this emotion in God. Psalm 78, verse 40 says this, "How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert." Two verses later, it says, "They did not remember his power." That grieves God. That grieves God when he knows he has a people who he's given power to, who he's given holiness to, who he's called to be his friends, who he's called to be his chosen people set apart to release his blessing on the earth, and we choose to ignore that power in our life. It grieves his heart. So I know this is not such a rah-rah message. It's a heavy message. But you know what? We have to take some time and look in our hearts so that we can be the women that God has called us to be, so that we can walk in the power and authority, not words only, but actual power, right? Actual authority, actual conviction, not just to bring God into our world, but to bring God to the world. It is the power of God. It is the power of God through us that's going to establish his kingdom everywhere that you and I step our feet. So back to the scripture. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now, some context here. Paul is writing to followers of Jesus here. He's not writing to unbelievers. So let's get that out of our mind. And remember this letter. We spent a lot of time in this letter, I think, last year, right? In the book of, and so we know this is a circular letter. It wasn't just for this one church. It was going to be read by all of the churches. So this is a principle that Paul wanted all of the believers in that time to understand, right? He wanted us to know that this is an issue, that the Holy Spirit that has been poured out could be grieved, could be stopped, could be saddened in our own lives. Now, we might think that God's judgment, what God is concerned about in the sin of the world, is God's major concern, and God is looking out and judging the world, and there are so many problems in the world that God isn't so much worried about the little issues in our own life. And if we think that, we're totally wrong. Because God will bring judgment on the world. And the judgment that he wants to bring to those who are outside of the family of God is a justice of forgiveness. He's already paid the price. He's already poured out his blood. His desire is that they come to Christ, right? And so if we spend all of our time looking at what the world's doing instead of looking at what we're doing, then we've believed the lie of the enemy. Because our job is not to judge the world, but to judge ourselves, right? Ourselves. And that's not just me telling you. The word of God teaches that. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:12. It says, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He says, "For what have I to do with judging those who are outside?" Paul's like, hey, that's not my business. Jesus took that judgment on the cross. Do you not judge those who are inside, right? The word of God says judgment begins in the house of God. So when we're looking at releasing the power of the Holy Spirit, at grieving the Holy Spirit, it starts right here. This message starts with me. Right? It starts with me and it starts with us. So let's not today focus on other sins. Let's look at what the Holy Spirit wants to speak in our own lives and in our own hearts. And that looks different for all of us, right? But let's keep our eyes where they need to be. Keep our eyes where they need to be, right? When I know that I could grieve, and I do grieve at times, the Holy Spirit in my own life, that should break my heart. And it should break your heart. Because God so loved the world that he gave. But I am the carrier of that message. And if I'm stopping that message, that should grieve my heart. Right? God wants to do so much more than you and I can think, dream, or imagine. First nugget of not grieving the Holy Spirit that I got out of these scriptures is watch your mouth. If you're a parent, have you ever told your kid, wait, watch your mouth, right? Watch what's coming out of your mouth. It says in verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. You know what edification means? To build, right? You're constructing something. Wow, our words build? Absolutely. For edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Here's the deal. Why are we checking our mouth? Because words have power. That's right. Words have power. They build people. How do they build people? By changing what they do? No. They build them from the inside out. God is into a transformation, right? Not into religion, not into outward habits, but a transformation from the inside out, and that's what words do. Why? Because our words actually give grace. What is grace? God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Grace, God's power in us to do with his truth demands of us. What? I can give people that power. Yes, you can, through your words. That is your inheritance as a believer, that when we watch our words, we can actually give grace. We can empower people. We can encourage people to rise up to what God has called them to be. We can help build the kingdom on the inside of them so that they become what God's dream is about them. I remember this saying as a kid. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've said it. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Such a lie. No, really, right? Your bones will probably heal. It will be painful. But those words, they go right in. Because words have power. It's God's design that words would have power. How does God release his power on the earth? Through words. In the beginning, God said, right? And it was through the spoken word that the Spirit of God was able to come and create. Right? How did you be transformed from the inside out and receive that invitation through Jesus Christ? You believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. Why? Because words have power. And we have to understand that our words have power so that we can watch our words. Here's a couple scriptures for you. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Ah, there's an option. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences, good and bad, right? Right? If you're a chatty Chad or a chatty Kathy, you just have a lot of words. I'm not that kind of person. You probably think I am standing up here, but you could ask my mom. I'm not. She's sitting right there. I don't have a lot of words, right? I'm a one-word answer kind of girl. But whatever those words are, right, we're going to reap them, good and bad. So it's important that we watch our words. Matthew 5:22 says this, but I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And then listen to this. If you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Wow, God puts a lot of weight on our words. Why? Because he created words for edification, for encouragement, not for discouragement, not for defeat, not for condemnation. And so we have to watch our words, watch what we're saying, watch what we're speaking. I mean, when you think about the power of words, watching our mouth, God shows us this example that the words have power so many times throughout the history of the Bible when he changes people's names. Abram to Abraham, new name, new meaning. Sarai to Sarah, new name, new meaning. Jacob to Israel, new name, new meaning, right? Saul to Paul, new name, new mission, new meaning, right? Simon to Peter, new name, new meaning, right? And this isn't just a historical thing that God used to do, but it's something that God is also doing for you. You might not know it. Let me show you. Go to Revelations 2 if you have your Bible so you can see this. It's not just a historical thing. This is who God is. It reveals to us how he functions, how his character is. He created words as a vehicle of creation. Revelations 2, 16 and 17 says this, "Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Let me stop there for a minute. How is God going to come against and fight against the enemy with what? Words. The sword of his mouth. Words. "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." There is a new name. God has been in the name-changing business since the beginning of creation because it's who he is. He understands that power of the spoken word in our lives. So what do we have to do? We have to watch our words. How do we do that? We run our words through our best friend first. Right? We've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is our best friend. Should I say this? Right? And you know what happens when they come out and they shouldn't have been said? Do we just leave them and let them do their damage? No, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before God and before people when we've put them down, when we've raised our voice, when we've spoken a curse instead of a blessing. We have to what? We have to go back. And we have to address that issue right away. We don't want to send them out because they do have power. God has given our words power. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit in our life. First thing we want to do is watch your mouth, girl. Right? Watch your mouth, Teresa. Watch your mouth and make sure that those words are doing what God created them to do. The second thing I want to talk to you about today, and I see in this passage, is we watch our mouth and we also guard our heart. Guard our heart. Ephesians 4, there in verse 30 and 31 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." Bitterness, wrath, anger, these are heart issues, ladies. They're heart issues. Here's the reality. Emotions are a gift from God. Right? They help us know what's happening in the places inside of us that we can't see. It's not so easy to fix the inside. You can't just open it up and be like, oh, this is in the wrong place, this is in the wrong place. All right, this got skewed when you were 10 years old, and this happened when you were 30, and this happened during this event, and so now the inside of you, we can. So how do we see? We see it through our emotions, right? They are a gift. They are like the indicator lights on the car. They tell you, right, when the gas is low, when the light bulb is out, right? They tell you if you need to change your oil. They tell you if the tire pressure is bad, right? If you got a fancy car, it might tell you when you're backing up, if you're going to bump into something, right? It tells us all kinds of things, but they're indicators. They don't give us directions. They don't tell us where to go. We don't follow those. They just measure what's happening on the inside. And that's what our emotions are. They're indicators. They are not dictators. Just because we feel them doesn't mean they direct how we live our life. They only give us a view of what's happening on the inside of us. What do they indicate? They indicate many things that have happened to us, and they also indicate what we're feeding ourselves with. Our emotions are a result of what we're putting on the inside of us. So that's my question today. Are what we're putting on the inside of us, does that draw us closer to our best friend? Is that drawing us to the Holy Spirit? Like your choice to come here this morning and hear the word and get into worship? That was a choice that draws you closer to the Holy Spirit. That's putting the word of God inside of you. That's putting communion with the Holy Spirit inside of you. But there's a lot of other choices that we might be making outside. What's coming in through our eye gate? What are our eyes set on? What are we watching? What are we feeding our eyes? What are we looking at on the computer, on the television, on the screens? What are we reading, right? What are we allowing into our ear gate? Are those things setting our heart aright? Are they bringing order to our insides? Are they the word of God that's washing over and cleansing? Or are they depositing things that don't need to be there? Things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Things that cause the Spirit of God, well, he's still there, but us not to hear him because we've got all of these other voices, right? We've got all of these other things happening on the inside of us. So that anger and that malice and that clamor and those things that the word of God is telling us, don't let these come out of you. They're not going to come out if we're not putting them in. Old saying, garbage in, garbage out, right? So basic, but so essential. And maybe we need to be reminded this morning, what am I looking as I leave here today? What am I listening to? What radio station? Is it edifying? Is it encouraging? Is it building up? Or am I using the excuse, I just want to stay informed? Do you need to listen to the world 12 hours a day to stay informed? No, maybe you could listen to a 15-minute news broadcast. Maybe you could glance through a certain news channel that you know represents both sides well. Right? Use some wisdom and not feed on with the world. Maybe you've dealt a lot with fear, and that fear has resulted in anger like we've seen all over our nation. Right? How much anger was bent up on the inside of a people. Right? And it came out in ways that were unhealthy, were ungodly, right? When it comes to destruction and thievery and robbery, right? There's no excuse. Nothing makes those right. But we have to look at what's happening on, and it's our job, happening on the inside of us. Not to grieve the Holy Spirit by filling ourselves the things that get in the way of our relationship with him. And that's going to look different from you than it does for me. So I'm not going to label all those little things because I want you to listen right now. Actually, we're going to do this. We're going to stop for just a second, and we're going to sit in silence. Do you know silence is one of the Christian disciplines? Sometimes we're used to community, fellowship, Bible reading, prayer, fasting, end. No, there's a whole bunch more. Silence is one of them. Sitting in silence, not praying, just sitting in silence. So I'm going to ask you to do that. We're going to do it for about the next 30 seconds. Some of you, it's going to be so hard. Some of you are professionals, you're like, psh, all right? But as you sit in silence, don't tell the Holy Spirit what to tell you. See what he brings up. See what he speaks. See what he whispers to the ears of your spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Right? We have a choice about what we're allowing inside of us. And what we're allowing inside of us is our emotions are an indicator of that. So whatever he spoke to you, don't ignore it. Don't be like that little triangle that just allows it to spin and spin until we're insensitive. Maybe he's talking to you about something he's been talking to you for decades. But it's so part of you that you're unwilling to let it go and you're thinking, God will deal with it. I do everything else right. Draw a line in the sand and say, no, not anymore. If you need to write it down, write it down. If you need to tell a neighbor, tell a neighbor. Don't bury it because the power of God wants to flow through you in new ways. Those things that he reminded you of, they grieve him. They're not his best for you. And they do not bring his kingdom to earth through you. Let's continue in the scripture here. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. You know, one of the things about the kingdom of God is that we rise up in the opposite spirit. Right? We overcome evil with good, right? We overcome fear with faith, right? We come at it in the opposite spirit. That's one of the things, and that's what we see here in this scripture. And it takes maturity to be able to identify what's going on in our emotions. It takes the Holy Spirit, that relationship, to guide and say, why do I feel like this? Why am I struggling with this issue? Why am I rising up in anger? Why am I frustrated? Holy Spirit, show me. And He will. He will reveal to us those things if we are willing. If we are willing. I remember the day I remember dealing with fear. I had so much fear as a young girl. I don't know why. Right? Things happened in my home. Maybe that was it. But just fear of darkness, fear of being alone at night, fear of all of these things. And I remember it wasn't until I just said, enough, fear is not from God. Did that make it go away? No. But what I said was, Holy Spirit, why? Why am I dealing with this emotion? It seems rational to me. It seems like I should be afraid, but that's not your best. That's no way to live. And then the Holy Spirit invited me to begin to change what was coming in through my ear gate and my eye gate. Look at the things that you're watching. Look at the things that you're putting in your life that are full of fear. Cut them out. Cut them out. There's no way that I could have been a single woman living by myself for several decades in a home if I had fear. Why? What would I be doing? Locking, checking the windows, walking around, putting out, buying some guns, getting some knives like I was a little kid, right? Right? Who's going to come in? Oh my gosh, I can't sleep. No, but the peace of God, I never had fear. Why? Because He dealt with that when I was in my 20s. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to deal with what comes, it takes maturity. There's no magic pill. If we put stuff in our lives for decades, for years, and then we're like, God, take it away. Sometimes He will. He'll do a miracle. But mostly He's going to call you to maturity. Do the work. Do the work. Walk it out. Make the choice every day, day by day. Watch me do the miracle. Watch me change you from the inside out. Watch me bring healing and wholeness and freedom, like we sang today, to those areas of your life. All right. A scripture here about the opposite spirit. We come at it with the opposite spirit is Proverbs 15:1. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, right? God has asked us not to speak to each other with anger and clamor and malice, but a soft answer. It's the opposite spirit that releases and brings the kingdom of God into our world. So let's not speak to each other, right? As the scripture says, with bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, but put those things away from you. And like I said, it's not just deciding today, okay, I'm going to put them all away. Why? Because they come up out of the inside of our souls, people. But we got to be willing to do the work with God. Walk with your best friend, and in due season, you will notice that it's going to be gone. I was just reminded right now, I accepted Jesus as a 16-year-old girl at a youth camp. But I remember before that, in high school, right, I had the mouth of a sailor. Is that how you say it? Right? Man, terrible. My mom's probably going, huh? Because, of course, when you're a kid, you don't talk like you talk at school at home, right? Right? But it was terrible. Every other word when I was not at home was foul, literally. But I remember giving my heart to Christ and being like just starting to serve God and run for God and putting God inside of me and reading my Bible and beginning a devotion. And I remember at the end of that summer, I just had this moment where I was like, I don't cuss anymore. It was like, whoa, that was really, why? Because we change from the inside out. We do the work with the Holy Spirit, and He brings transformation. So where you need the transformation, it's not hopeless, it's hopeful. It's hopeful because of your best friend, because of the God who loves you, and He has a plan for you, and it's never too late. It doesn't matter if you begin when you're 80. It would have been better to begin at 16, right? But it doesn't matter because God is the God of right now. Right? He is the I am. He is the present God. He wants to do the work right now. He's not sitting back with regret. You didn't do it yesterday. He's not saying, oh, I hope she does it tomorrow. He's right now, ready and present. The Holy Spirit is with us now, and that's what we answer for. We answer for the right now in our life. Let's continue. So we're going to watch our mouth, guard our heart, so that we do not grieve our best friend. And we do not stop the power of God in our life. And number three, my last point for today, is we need to overflow with forgiveness. Overflow with forgiveness. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. right? The opposite of grieving the Holy Spirit is forgiveness. Walking in forgiveness, making it a lifestyle. Here's the deal. Forgiveness is the default mode of the Christian. That is our default mode. That is what we're called to work in. Now, you might be sitting here going, I can't forgive that quickly. It takes me a long time. Well, you know what? God's going to move you to a place where it's automatic. Not because the people deserve it. Not because they didn't do wrong. Not because you were not offended. Not because they didn't hurt you. Not because of any of those reasons. But because of who you are in Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for you. Because you are commanded to do it. Right? Any of those reasons, you can take them. But the closer you walk with God, the more you get to know God. Let me tell you what. For me, with every step closer that I get to knowing the Holy Spirit, every step closer that I get to knowing God, it becomes easier and easier. Because in light of his goodness, in light of his glory, in light of his sufficiency, that offense is insignificant. It truly is. And I can let it go and walk away. Right? Now, some people, when they keep coming at you, they're a little harder to let go, right? And you're like, again? And they wake up all this stuff on the inside of you. And we've got to, again, remind ourselves and not tune out the Holy Spirit and just blab about them and not forgive them, but really say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. I'm going to let it go. Ooh, is that like a Frozen thing or something, right? Let it go. I can't sing, but I'm not a musical, but I know that's a song or something like that. Forgiveness is releasing the offender from standing between you and God. We're talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. And when we hold forgiveness, unforgiveness in our heart, that unforgiveness is allowing that person, that offense, that thing said or done to you to stand between you and God. I don't want anybody between me and God. I don't want your offense, your business, your junk, your hurt in my way. And when we walk in unforgiveness, it's kind of like walking, have you ever gone up the mountain or gone in an airplane or changed altitude quickly and your ears get plugged? Yeah, how many of you experienced that? That phenomenon. Oh my gosh, isn't it irritating? It's like even after you've come back down the mountain, you just, nothing is right. Like I can't really hear you. I don't feel good. My head is foggy. I'm in the world here, but I'm not seeing it right. I'm not feeling it right. I'm not experiencing it right. There is this stupid bubble of air in my ear that is blocking everything from being okay. That's how unforgiveness is in our soul. The Spirit of God is there. Goodness is there. God's presence is there. God's provision is there. But that unforgiveness, it's not about them. It's about my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's causing me not to feel him, sense him, experience him, hear him like I should because I'm holding judgment over someone else. Isn't it God's job to judge them? So I'm playing God as I hold unforgiveness? And I'm interfering with my relationship with God in the process? Luke 6:37 says this, judge not, and you shall not be judged. That's reason enough right there, right? Because I make mistakes all the time, on the everyday. There's nothing perfect about this woman standing before you. Nothing, except for Jesus on the inside of her, right? And so just that statement enough, judge not. I'm not going to judge, right? I need to stop judging because I don't want to be judged, right? I'm not aware of all my errors like the people are around me, right? So that's enough, but that wasn't even where I was going. Next one. I just thought I mentioned that. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Here you go. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Jesus even included when he taught his disciples to pray, right? Let me forgive so that I can be forgiven. It's a condition. The Holy Spirit wants a clean, pure, unhindered relationship with you and I. And when we hold bitterness, offense and unforgiveness, we allow a root of bitterness to get in our heart. And when it gets in our heart and we get squeezed and we get emotional, all of that negative stuff is going to come out. Not edification. And we're not going to be able to watch our mouth because we haven't guarded our heart. Because we let unforgiveness in. It all ties together. Right? So when it comes to relationships, we got to forgive quickly so that we can walk in clearly, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Forgiveness releases people from our own personal judgment. And it says, God, you're the judge. Judgment is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to leave it in his hands, even though everything in me wants vengeance. No, that's just me. Sorry, I don't know how that got out. You know when you laugh, it's because you relate. Ouch. Okay, so, but it's true, right? I want my relationship with the Holy Spirit, my best friend, to be the best relationship I have, right? When I get up in the morning and I realize that I'm praying before I open my eyes, maybe that happens to you too. Maybe you're praying in the Spirit and you're like, oh, what have we been praying about? Right? Because your spirit is already off and running before you ever open. That's the kind of life I want. Right? The life when you open your eyes in the morning and the song that you sang on Sunday in church or that you've been listening to the radio that worships, your spirit is already worshiping you. Already worshiping. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, I've never had that happen. That's a gift of God for you. As you press in and as you get to know your best friend, right, in every level of your life, body, soul, and spirit, as you do what we've been told over the last couple weeks, as you pray in the Spirit and build up your spirit, right, those beautiful things begin to happen. I don't want anything in that way. I don't want anything to get in the way of that relationship. I want to be able to hear what God is doing, what God is saying, and what God would have me to do, right? When I don't know how to act, the Spirit of God is there to teach us how to act. But when we've grieved him, when we've blocked him out through our words, through our heart, through not guarding our heart and not letting people go, holding them in unforgiveness, we stop the move of God in our life. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's the posture that God wants us. God, I want to have a heart for you. I want to have a heart that doesn't block you out, that doesn't grieve you, that doesn't let the words of my mouth, the offense in my heart, block and keep me from pressing in to your presence. All right. So my question for you this morning is, what are the areas? I'm not going to ask you, are there areas in your life that grieve the Holy Spirit? Because unless you are Jesus Christ, the answer to that is yes. Our spiritual life, you know, to give another rudimentary image, is like an onion, right? It has layers and layers. And at the center is that holiness of God. And as we press into his presence, he begins to peel those layers. You could think of those big, obvious sins, those big, ugly sins like me and my foul mouth, right? When you begin to walk with Jesus and he peels that off and you're like, yeah, victory, right? Next level, right? Whatever that might be. Maybe it was anger, right? Maybe it's frustration. Maybe it's self-condemnation. And you peel that off. Victory, right? And you begin to press into the presence of God, and those layers begin to change. And so for every one of us, it's something different in our life and in our heart. Maybe it's what the Spirit of God already whispered to you today, right? What is it in my heart and in my life, and what am I going to do about it? That's my invitation to you this morning, to be serious about those things, to be intentional about those things so that God can have an army of women. That's what he wants. Standing shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, pressing in to his presence, right? Bringing the kingdom of God to the world around us, to our families, to our neighborhoods, to our jobs. How powerful is that when the people of God hear the voice of God and obey? And we do that because we're not stopping his presence in our life. We're not choosing to fill ourselves with the things of this world instead of his presence.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.